All right, what's up, everybody? It's that time. It's time for No BS. After a long time being missing, we're back. And it's not just me. We're back with the original Dustin Lippich is in the
house. You already know what's up, Como. Let's go, baby.
And you already know it's me, Rob, the host with the most. And then live from the 405, we got Mr. Adam Burstman. Adam, say what's up one time.
What's up one time, everybody?
Yeah, so let me ask you this, Dustin. How are things in the 405 tonight?
Well, Dustin ain't in the 405, but if he was, he'd
be. I mean, Adam, I'm sorry. Adam, how are things in the 405?
Oh, you know, man. I'm wheeling, dealing, profiling, styling, just like Ric Flair here, watching the Denver-Portland game.
Real quick, and Dustin and Adam, can I get a woo one time?
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, you had to mention Ric Flair, so you know you can't mention Ric Flair without giving a woo.
I know that's right.
Well, it's good to be back, y'all, man. Like I said, it's been about a year hiatus, really, since it's been. You know, I can't remember the last show that we had, Dustin, but I think it was me, you, and Kenny. Shout out to Kenny for helping us hold down the show there for a while. You know,
I got a feeling Kenny will be back at some point. I just got a sneaky suspicion, right, bro.
And real quick, Kenny, I just want to let you know, I do forgive you for ending that live chat that we had on Facebook. Kenny felt, let me tell you folks that are listening at home, Kenny felt so bad that he up and left Dustin's house. And not only that, but we were involved in a fantasy basketball. He actually traded away all his best players to me. And it as a result ended the whole damn fantasy league.
that's a classic, bro.
Like Kenny didn't know that one mistake, which I forgave him for. It interrupted and ruined everything. So
I was on my way to win that league. By the way, I just want to let everyone know that.
So. I'm just gonna throw this out there. I was doing terrible. I drafted just basically name wise and people that I knew, and I didn't give any love to those six men and all those people that don't get a lot. And I only won like 1 week, so I wasn't too devastated that we ended it, to be quite honest with you. So
let's get into some topics, Rob. What do we got on the show this week, bro?
Well, and so here's what we're gonna do. So again, before we get started, we're gonna offer No BS in a whole different way. Like I said, the last time that we did No BS, it was strictly Facebook Live, and that was cool. It gave us a chance to interact with our fans directly, and we're going to bring that to you, but there's some flaws that we have to work out. So this week, we're going to give you strictly through just audio only, so you'll be able to listen to this episode on your favorite podcast, like Spotify, Google, iTunes, and then as we work out those flaws, you're going to be able to watch us on Facebook Live as well. So don't worry. We're going to be able to interact with you in all different ways than we could have when we did original No BS. So I think it's going to take us to the next level. The good thing about that as well is Adam, since he's in the 405, it gives him to be an active member each week of the shows. And he doesn't have to always be in Columbia to be with us. So that's what's up. Because we need Adam's perspective each and every single day that we do this. So.
Adam drops facts, bro.
And only him can tell us what it's like to be in OKC, you know. I mean, I know there's not much going on in OKC right now, but.
Rob, stop it, bro.
Hey, man, we got the energy soccer team that's not in the major league yet, but they're playing right now. And then I think our OU softball team is number one in the nation.
Okay.
So I mean, we've got some things going on here. I mean, it's not just a basketball town like everyone thinks it is, but.
See, there you go. Only Adam can bring that perspective because he's the only one in the 405. So, you know, so for all you 405 people, hey, you want to know what's going on in the world of OKC, you go to Adam. So, so before we get started, though, like I said, welcome to the No BS. We're going to come to you a lot more often in a lot more different ways. And I think we're going to make this No BS round two even better than round one. And so I'm glad that Dustin's back. I'm glad Adam's back. Anyone that wants to be on the show, just hit us up. We'll make you part of it. We'll tell you how you can be part of the show. You know, like we, like me and Dustin wanted it to be the first time. We wanted this not just to be mine and Dustin's show, but now Adam. But anyone who wants to be part of the show, I mean, the more the merrier. So, you know, not everybody shares the same perspective, and that's why we want to hear from you. And so that's what we're going to do every single week, is bring you the best show that we possibly can. And, you know, so that's our mission.
If they want to be a part of the show, right, they can't be bringing they can't be bringing the BS, bro, because it's no BS. You got to be spitting straight facts on here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know Dustin and Adam don't speak no BS, and I sure as hell don't, so don't you bring that BS to the show.
Hell no, man. We leave that all in the 2K court.
That's right. That's right. So without further ado, let's just – so what we're going to do in this episode, we're just going to cover you know, some of the major hot topics of the, you know, what's going on in the world of sports. You know, we're going to be, obviously, right now, the NBA playoffs are hot and ready to go right now. There's a lot going on. Not only that, but, you know, we also have NFL draft just passed us. So, you know, we're going to give our perspective on how maybe some teams that stood out, maybe some teams that made some questionable decisions. So we're going to talk about that. And then, obviously, most importantly, we're going to talk about, you know, being in Columbia, you know, we obviously had Drew Locke that got drafted in. So we're going to talk a little bit about him as well. So,
let's go.
So we'd like to do, like we did in our first No BS, we're going to give a quick second for everybody to give maybe quick shout outs that they must have. So I'm going to give a quick shout out just real quick to my boy, Sean Vasquez, who celebrated his 1 year anniversary with him and his wife. So congratulations to you. Let's see. Who else do I want to give a shout out to? I mean, most importantly, I'm going to give a shout out to Dustin and Adam for being back on the show, for being wanted to bring it back just as much as I have. So you, shout out to you guys. I wouldn't be able to do this show without y'all. Real love.
Got me tearing up, Rob. Damn.
Damn. Yeah, man. I got you that tearjerker, right? I mean, that's who all I could think about. What about you, Adam, Dustin? Who y'all want to give a shout out to?
I'd like to give a shout out to my dogs for not barking and causing a ruckus here.
Man, that's what's up. That's what's up, dog. What's your dog's name, Adam? Show them some love. Give us some specific love.
Well, you got the king of the house. He's a mean 5.5 to 6 pounds, depending on what day and if it's a rainy day, but Pierre.
Okay.
And then you got the new pup, Lacey.
Okay. Okay.
So, and anyone that's played 2K with us, they know that my dogs like to talk and are real animated, so they're actually doing a real fine job right now. But besides that, I'd like to give a shout out to anyone that's trying to watch or tune in. We're going to get the kinks worked out on this, and we're going to get this thing up and running and be pretty legit. So anyone that's going to tune in, I'd appreciate it. And just keep hanging along with us, and we're going to turn this into something big. So
for sure, for sure, for sure. What about you, Dustin? What's on your mind tonight, man?
Oh man, I'm gonna give a shout out to my boy Connor, man. He's doing his thing in KC. I'm gonna give a shout out to my boy Nate Dog. He's gonna have twins in July. I'm gonna give a shout out to my boy Chase. He's keeping it real, mowing them lawns. I'm gonna give a shout out to my boy Gio. He got his moving business going, man. I'm shouting out everybody. I want to shout out Strecker. I want to shout out Breton. I want to shout out to everybody that played 2K with us, Russo. Everybody, man, giving love to everybody tonight, bro.
Okay. Got Dre in there too. Don't forget about Dre.
Oh, can't forget about Dre, bro.
And I'm going to apologize. I haven't been able to play as much as I have been wanting to of late, but I'm gonna get back in there involved with y'all. So, real talk, Dustin. Before we get started, how's your Xbox doing? Is it doing all right?
Oh, that's a sore subject, bro. It works right now, so we're gonna see what this warranty game's all about, bro.
Real talk, man. My heart really did drop for you when I saw that, man. So,
oh man, kids, you gotta love kids, bro.
Shout out to all of our friends with kids. Shout out to them. And Adam, that goes for you too. Those dogs are your kids too, man. So that goes for you as well. All right, so let's just get started, fellas. So, like I said, the playoffs are going full throttle right now. You know, we just had today we had the Toronto Raptors that tied up for the Sixers. Let's see. We also had Golden State lose last night to get the Rockets back in. So it's just
– let's go.
It's been a fun playoff so far. So let's just –
a 4 overtime game with Portland and Denver. That was crazy, so, bro.
Let's just start off with Let's just start off with the Rockets and Warriors one, because that seems to be the one that the most compelling and the one that everybody wanted to see. So, you know, so let's start with you, Dustin. You know, so you know, you could start however you want. So, what have you been taking away from this series so far?
It's been a very physical series. These teams don't like each other, and it's very evident. I've seen some technicals. We've seen all kinds of stuff. I give the Rockets a little bit of hope, but, man, they had to go into overtime with a Warriors team, and Steph Curry was missing dunks and layups. I mean, it's just I don't – they're going to prolong it maybe. Maybe they get another game, but I don't see them doing too much, man. The Warriors are just too stacked. Everybody knew that going into this year. They're just too stacked, and it's just going to keep.
Most definitely. Adam, what have you seen so far?
We're talking about Golden State and Houston,
just
right?
Say it. What's been your thoughts? You know, anything?
Well, I'm glad that the officiating got squared away after the first game. Right, right. There's some very, very questionable calls being made in favor of one team. We don't need to say who, but we all know who.
Right, right.
No, it's been a good series. I mean, the games haven't been real bad blowouts. You know, last night's game was pretty good. Thought it was pretty entertaining at the end of the game in overtime when Curry went up for a dunk and got blocked by the rim.
Yeah.
He's got no business trying to dunk. I'm pretty sure I can dunk better than he can. But I just hope that it goes seven games, and I really hope that Chris Paul doesn't get injured. That's my main concern, because that's the tendency in any playoff series of a team that Chris Paul's a part of, is that he somehow, you know, gets hurt and can't finish the series. So I really hope that both teams can maintain their health and make it a real good classic seven-game series. But
right. And a lot,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and speaking of what you just said of Chris Paul, a lot of people to this day believe if it wasn't for Chris Paul getting injured last year, it would have been Houston and not Golden State in the finals. So, you know, and I'm one of those people that strongly believe that that was a game changer. You know, I strictly believe that each Warriors – you know, championship run, they've been fortunate to have some sort of injury have happened of some sort, you know, and, you know, so, I mean, obviously you need a little luck, but they tend to get a lot more luck than what most teams do. So, yeah, my perspective is this, and you touched on it, Adam, is the officiating. I mean, officiating was something that's been made a big deal of. You know, they feel like last year officiating was a huge deal as well, and that was one of the things that, you know, was a huge deal in the first part, game one and two. So it was nice not to really hear much of the officiating in game three. Really, of course, the only real big storyline was James Harden getting his eye hurt in game two. So obviously he says he couldn't see very well, but then he went and dropped 15 points after the injury. And if you watch last night's game, you could clearly see that his left eye was still pretty red. But he obviously still played very well. I mean, he dropped like what, 35 points last night. You know,
who poked him in the eye, Rob? Let's bring that man's name into the game.
Draymond Green.
Again, he's kicking people in the nuts, bro, and he's poking people in the eye. It's crazy, bro. He should be an MMA fighter.
Right, right. You know,
he might be in a sport.
Right, I am not a huge fan of Draymond Green. I will say to anyone that I wish someone else would tell me differently, but I believe that Draymond Green is a dirty player. You know, he's up. You know, and nothing you could say to change my mind. So of course it would be fitting that it would be Draymond Green that would have done it. So,
but if Draymond was on your team, which is Cleveland, you're not a Cleveland fan anymore. L.A. If he was on your team, you would like him, I promise.
I mean,
you. If he was on the Thunder, I would like him.
I mean,
because he's that type of player. He's that Dennis Rodman type of player. You know, he's dirty as can be. He's actually kind of physical, you know, and he grinds it out. But he does dumb stuff, of course. But like I said, if he's on your team, you definitely like him and respect having him on your team.
No, you're definitely right. You're definitely right. It's just like what I've always said about me and my friend Kenyell, and shout out to him. He's a huge Kobe guy. I've always said I can't stand Kobe. But if he was still in L.A. right now, man, hey, that's my boy.
My thing was the first game, Adam kind of brought this up as far as the calls, man. I seen five or six calls that Harden should have easily gotten from the landing zone, because they made that such a huge deal this year, man. You can't a defender cannot be in the landing zone of a shooter or it's a foul. And I seen that happen 4 or 5 times that game that didn't get called. And it just blew me away because they made such a big deal about it in the offseason.
And the thing I thought was funny about it was that the Rockets actually pointed that out. That I think it was Chris Paul that pointed out that the reason why it's such a big deal is because of last year with the cheap shot. You know, when he came, when he didn't allow Kawhi Leonard to come down, and that changed the whole damn series. You know, and so
– yeah.
But the one thing they point out with that I've been hearing about with the experts saying that when James Harden has somebody shooting, he kind of – the way he shoots, it's differently than when he's not being guarded. So I think that what they're trying to say is James Harden kind of does it to himself and puts himself in that situation. I don't know what y'all think about that or not.
I would disagree. I would disagree completely. I think James Harden shoots the same way every time. I think that people want to try to block him and get in his view, you know, disrupt his vision of the basket. And so they fly out there and they can't control themselves all the time. I think he's just really good at getting that call, or I guess he didn't get it in the first game, but he's really good at getting that call and making the defenders kind of do stuff that they don't want to do. So I don't think he's doing anything to himself. I don't think he's putting it out there.
But he's also became reliant on it. And that's a problem, because when he's not getting that call, it alters his playing style. Because a couple of years ago, they weren't making that call on the 4-point, on the 3-point shot for the 4-point play very often. But now that's a thing in every game. So he kind of instrumentally brought that to the game, him and Curry, you know, and Jamal Crawford was kind of doing it before him. But I think that that's altered his game a little bit. When he's not getting that, he's, you know, he's having to improvise, which he's a great improviser and he can get to the basket better than a lot of other people in the league. But I think that that's played a huge role in how his game has transpired, and probably, you know, it didn't really give him an MVP, but it's definitely kept him in MVP talk every year now.
Right, right.
I would argue that Harden is the best offensive player in the game today.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but
well, another guy you can make that case for, and obviously he's been showing out this series, is Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant dropped 40 plus last night. And, like, he was on it. And I think at one point during their run, I think he scored, like, their last – it was – I want to say it was, like, their – out of the three or the four last possessions, it seemed like Kevin Durant was the one that was responsible for the bucket. Like, Kevin Durant, you know, as much as I'm not a huge fan of him, and, you know, and we all know why my thoughts on him is and for what reason, but, I got to respect and acknowledge that what he's been doing. You know, like, he's been – playing lights out, you know, in these playoffs. And so, you know, last night he had a really good game. What y'all thought about Kevin Durant in this series?
Well, I mean, he's the best player in the world right now. And a lot of players kind of coast through the season. They're not worried about the MVPs after they've won one. And, I mean, he had a 50-point game the other night. And, you know, he just makes it look so easy. And, right. You know, I just – it's hard – as you all know, it's hard for some of us to root for him because of the way that he kind of dogged some people here. And it sucks watching him and James Harden, when they were both here at one point in time, take over. But I think he's a better offensive player than Harden is.
Yeah.
And see, time out. Hold on, Rob. Let me get in here real quick. Let me get in here now. See, I said offense. I'm talking about the whole offensive aspect of basketball. To me, Kevin Durant's probably the best scorer in the league right now. He can put the ball in the hoop. I get you that. But he doesn't do – you don't see very many assists from him on a consistent basis. He has games here and there where he puts up this and that, and that's cool. That's good. But as far as, like, the total offense of being able to handle the ball, Kevin Durant's not a – he can handle the ball and get himself a shot. But he's not a real good ball handler as far as making plays for other people. So when I said offensive, I was talking about the whole offensive side of the – and not just the scoring, which to me, Kevin Durant is the most lethal scorer in the game right now. I mean, when he gets it going, I would say he's even better than Curry, even though Curry makes longer shots. But Curry – I mean, Durant's shot is just – when it's going, it's pure. I mean
– And real quick, just before we move on – you know, this show is called what? No BS. And I'm trying to, and I always said I was going to try to be unbiased as possibly as I could. And, you know, we all know that I'm a LeBron guy. But, I mean, I have to say, if we're being unbiased here, look, you know, Kevin Durant definitely is making his case for being the best player in the world right now. I got to, as painful it is for me to admit that and say that, I mean, I got to give him his love. And he definitely is playing top notch right now. And unfortunately, LeBron's not out there right now in the playoffs. And so, you know, you got to give Kevin Durant his love. I mean,
Let's at least say this. Let's at least say this before we skip to before we go to the next subject. He also is on a team where he doesn't get a lot of double teams because they can't double team him. There's a lot of stuff going on with that whole team to make it easy for Curry or Durant or Klay Thompson, any of them, to actually be able to score. And I'm not putting him down or saying anything like that. I'm just saying it kind of it when people say, well, he's doing it and he's making it look easy. Well, to be on that team in that situation, I bet it is fairly easy for him.
Right.
He's not getting many double teams because you can't do that, or you're leaving Steph open, or you're leaving Klay open.
And I think that's – and if I remember correctly, that's why he said he wanted to go to Golden State Warriors, because it would be easier for him, because, you know, be easier for him to get his shots than it was when he was in Oklahoma City. So.
And see, I'm totally against that, bro. I personally believe in you grind and you get it done. You know, you go the hard way and you get it that way. But, I mean, it's worked for him. He's got rings, and when he's long gone and out of the league, people aren't going to talk about how he left OKC or how he got to the Warriors. They're only going to remember him by the rings and what they did in Oakland.
I mean, I'm going to remember what he did.
I'm saying, you know, can't be common stuff.
I see what you're saying now.
If you ever want to hear a real interesting opinion about Kevin Durant, we know someone, his name's Michael Strecker. We'll bring him on sometime.
Real
unbiased opinion about
him. I think Mike,
if we could get Strecker on here, bro, this show would be something
Strecker
else, bro.
We would be able to talk an hour about Kevin Durant. So, real quick before we move on, so let's go ahead and just give our prediction for the rest of the series. You know, so how many games you think more it's going to go, and who wins? So, Adam, what about? So, what do you think?
Well, let me say my opinion.
Okay, we know Dustin's got one.
I think Houston.
I'm
gonna
go
is gonna pull
Golden State in six. Just think that in game five, I guess it's game four now. Something's just gonna happen, and it's gonna be really fluky. To shift the momentum of the series, and Houston will probably get another one. Maybe it'll be game four at home. Maybe it'll be game five in Golden State. But I think it's game six. I think Golden State's winning.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say Golden State in six. Houston is going to pull another one out. It may be the next one at home. But I don't see it going to seven.
Okay. I'm going to go Warriors in six as well. I mean, I just think that every team's going to at least get one win on their floor. And, you know, the Warriors are kind of one of those teams that could turn it on and switch it off at any time. And so I think in the end what's going to – I think just the talent of the Warriors is going to be too much for them. And so, yeah, I'll say Warriors in six. So. But, all right, so let's transition. Let's stay in the West. Let's talk about the Nuggets and Trailblazers. Right now, looks like game four is about to end, where it looks like it's going to be the Nuggets. They're going to tie up the series at two.
Currently is 112-110 Denver with 7 seconds left, and Denver has the ball.
Yeah, so it looks like the Nuggets are about to tie the series. So, Dustin, let's start with you. What's been your thoughts so far from what you've seen from this series?
Well, I mean, the four overtime game was crazy. I'm rooting for Portland because, of course, Portland put out OKC. Dame Dollar's cold-blooded. Usually people don't want to root for the team that beat their team, but watching that series with Portland and OKC, man, really, you know, I really respect how Lillard plays the game. I really do. So I'm actually rooting for him. I hope Portland meets the Warriors for the West. But that Denver team, man, their Denver team is young. They've got a beast down low in Jokic who can do almost anything on the court you need him to do. So this one's interesting, man. I'm going with Portland, but that's purely a heart decision, because if I had to tell you, like, based on facts or this or that, I don't know who's going to win this one. I really don't.
Right, right. What about what's your thoughts, Adam?
All right, I just want to say something real quick, because they just reminded me, going through a replay of a video on the game. I don't need to see Lego versions or people commentating or replays of Lillard hitting that shot over Paul George. I don't need to see it. We all know that they won. That's great. It's over with. I don't need to keep seeing videos of that. It happened. It's done with. Just stop showing the videos. And now I'm probably going to get 50 of them in my face.
Adam with the hot takes.
But I'm done seeing those videos. With that being said, the playoffs, it comes down to stars and how many stars you have on your team. Denver has one in Jokic. Portland has 1.5 with Lillard.
Come on, you got to give Jamal Murray some love.
He ain't a star yet. He's up and coming, and he's a great player, but he's not a star. I mean, stars take over games, and stars win you games. And McCollum the other night in the quadruple overtime game, Grant, he shot 38 shots, and had 40-some-odd points. He can score at will.
Right.
And when you got two guys like that that can get to the basket, score at will, I mean – I'm going to go with I think Portland's going to win this series, even though they're about to lose at home right now. I think they just got too much between Lillard and McCollum, and Denver can't stop it. But Denver, if they keep their pieces together, and if Michael Porter can be anything from what he was in high school and was hyped up to be, Denver is going to be a team that's going to stay around for a while.
Definitely.
So nothing against Denver, but I just don't think it's going to happen this year for him. So I got Portland and
seven. Definitely. See, yeah, you guys pretty much just said everything that I had the same thoughts. I mean, I definitely think that Denver has definitely solidified that they are a contender, because a lot of people thought that, you know, they really weren't someone to take serious. You know, the fact that they were to pull that series away from San Antonio. And Jokic has kind of proven that he's obviously taken the next level in his career this year. So it will be interesting to see if he can continue that, or if this is just one of those outlier years. And obviously the Nuggets, like you said, has a lot of young talent, and Jamal Murray, you know, they have Michael Porter. If Michael Porter, like Adam said, can be anything like we expected him to be at Mizzou, and unfortunately was let down by, the Nuggets are going to be set for some, for a long time. And I just think as of right now, they're not ready to take that next step. I just think that the Trailblazers, you know, I think they're riding that momentum that they had with OKC. I think Damian Lillard has stepped up his game, and a lot of people are putting him, if they hadn't already, are putting him in that elite category. And so, and the impressive things are doing all this without Jokic or Nurkic. And so just imagine,
wow.
Just imagine if he was playing, or, you know, just imagine if they were, how deadly they'd be if he was playing right now.
That'd be a whole different team, Rob.
So I'm just impressed that they even made it this far with that injury. So, like Adam said,
you're talking about Nurkic.
I'm
right?
Sorry, yes, Nurkic. So I would say, even though, like Adam said, looks like they lost tonight at home, I just think that the way that Dalla Dame is playing and that whole team, I just think that in the end, I think the series is going to go seven. And I think that it's going to be Portland and not Denver that wins in seven games. But that's just my opinion.
Here's one key, though, to that before we switch. Denver has home court. And if it does go seven, it's in
that's
Denver.
That's true. That's very true. Anything else you want to add, Dustin, before we move on?
No, I think we're good. Let's keep this rolling. Right,
so let's move on to the East now. So let's just talk about tonight's or today. So we had the Raptors take game four today in Philly, so it looks like that series is now tied 2-2. So what's been your whoever wants to go first, I don't care, what's been your insight and your takeaway from the series through four games?
I'll start off. I think it's been a pretty competitive series. I think it's been everything that everyone in the consensus thought it was going to be. I mean, it's a lot of star power and a lot of physicality. You got the Raptors that play extremely good defense at times. And Philly, when they're clicking, I mean, they can probably put up 150 points if they wanted to. You know, I honestly, this is probably the one series where I don't think home court matters. I think that either one of these teams can go in on the road and win a game seven if they need to, or a game six if they need to close it out. But I did, before the playoffs started, I did run with Philly to make the NBA finals. So I'm going to stick to that pick. But I think this is going to go seven games. I think Philly's going to win seven just because, again, we go back to star power. But, I mean, their starting five is just absurd. If Tobias Harris is hitting and J.J. Redick can, you know, knock down threes as he has been, not consistently, but if he can, I mean, I just think that they can score a lot more points than Toronto can. So I'm going to go stick with Philly. I'm going to have them going in seven.
Okay. All right, Dustin, what about you, my friend?
I mean, this to me is a really, really interesting matchup. All the star power on Philly, but obviously Philly hasn't they're not as consistent as we would like them to be with the star power that they have. So that's an interesting fact. But then, man, Kawhi is just like a one-man wrecking crew, bro. Like he really can change a game purely by himself. And they have a good team up there. But he's the heart and soul. If something happens to him, that team's null and void, in my opinion. So I don't know. It's kind of fun to watch, you know, a star-studded team in Philly versus Toronto, who's got Kawhi, but Kawhi's just playing better than any of the stars that Philly has. So I don't know. This one's very interesting to me. I do think that Philly. I think Philly's going to pull it out. I think they're going to find out how to kind of channel that in and get the points and the productivity out of the big men down low, especially Embiid. I mean, nobody really on Toronto. Marc Gasol is cool, but Embiid, when he gets it going, man, he's just a beast. So I'm going to go with Philly. I'm not going to say how many games because I have no idea. I don't know. I'm going with Philly.
Right. Well, I like what Adam said that it doesn't really seem like, you know, in most series, it usually comes down to who has home court advantage. And like Adam said, and I agree with, I don't think it really matters because both teams have proven they can win on each other's courts. Like Dustin said, is Kawhi Leonard, the Claw, seems to be back to superstar status. You know, so you got to think that Skip Bayless hates seeing that. Or, I mean, Skip Bayless won't even say his name anymore. He just says that number two that's in Toronto. So he's still soft.
God.
But Kawhi Leonard's playing well. The only thing that I think has been kind of impressive is the fact that, you know, Kyle Lowry hasn't really showed up in this series. And the fact that he's not really showing up and the series is tied is amazing to me. Pascal Siakam is continuing his great play from the regular season. Siakam is maybe turning into a borderline superstar. You know, so they got a nice little gym there. And this cool thing that, and by the way, people don't know, Siakam went to Jeff City High School here in Missouri. So that's kind of a cool tie. Most people don't know that.
I hate to correct you, but you're confusing him with that other guy on Toronto.
Oh, you're right. Like Anobi, I'm sorry. You're right. My bad. You're right. So. But still, that's still pretty cool, though, that we have someone like it. But, yeah, Anunoby. So, thanks for the correction there, Adam. But either way, Siakam is turning into a borderline superstar, and I think that's awesome. I have a lot of love for him because he helped me in my fantasy basketball. So, I have a lot of love for him. So,
hey, how did that end for you,
Rob? Anyway, I took fourth place, but you know what? It's an improvement than I did last year, and that's all. I'm gonna go for that ship next year. I mean, in the end, none of us won, so shout out to Chase for taking that crown. Dustin's True. Gonna jump in. Justin kind of jumped in there late, so Dustin's gonna come in next year. I'm sure he's gonna make sure he's known next year. So, back to what we were saying though, as far as the Philly side, you know. Despite all the criticism, Ben Simmons is actually kind of put together. You know, I mean, obviously he gets a lot of criticism for his shooting and how he's sometimes a liability. And, He shut up in the series, so he's kind of put that to rest a little bit. Embiid, even though he's been injured, he's still Embiid, putting his stamp in it. But if you had to ask me, I think in the end of the series, I think I still don't trust the inexperience of the Sixers. I think they're still too young. I think they're still too learning. I just don't know if they're ready to take that next step and finish the series. So with that being said, I think the experience in Kawhi, I'm going to have to go with the Toronto Raptors in seven. And I think it's going to be – I think the next – you know, three games are going to be competitive, but if I had to put my money on it, I'm going to go with the Toronto Raptors to wrap it up. And I think that they have to because, you know, they let go of DeMar DeRozan, who wanted to stay in Toronto, who wanted to be a Raptor his entire life, you know, his whole career. And for them to ship him to San Antonio and they pick up Kawhi and what could be just a one-year rental, I think it's important for them to get out of this round because you can't let go of DeMar DeRozan and bring in someone like Kawhi and get bounced in the second round like you did last year. Like you can't allow that to happen. So I got the Raptors in seven.
That's a great point, Rob. Honestly, if they want any chance of keeping Kawhi, they're gonna have to go a little deeper than the second round. So that's a good point.
If you're gonna try to convince Kawhi to stay, you got to give him some reason to be optimistic. And if they get bounced, I mean, if I'm Kawhi, the rumor is he wants to go to L.A. And so if you had to ask me, if I had to bet money today, I think he's staying in Toronto. But I think the how far they go in this postseason will dictate that. So anybody else want to add anything?
I think we're good. Let's get to this last series.
This last series, Celtics-Bucks, which is a series that I personally have been really looking forward to the most. I thought this was going to be a shootout, and it has been for the most part. Right now, Milwaukee leads 2-1 after getting blown out in Game 1 on their home floor. But the Greek Freak, just like all season long, most people think he will be the MVP, has been playing like an MVP. So whoever wants to go, you just kind of give us what you thought to do.
Let me jump in here, Adam. This is I picked Milwaukee since the beginning of the year to make the finals. I'm sticking with them. I don't think there's anybody in the league that can guard Giannis when it comes down to just one-on-one basketball. So I think he's a huge weapon. And even though they got blown out in game one, he actually hit, I think it was three or maybe even four three-pointers. So once he finds that range and he can start hitting long distance on a regular basis, he's going to be the most unguardable player in the league. But I don't know if he'll ever be as deadly as Durant because Durant almost has the same size. But he's a lethal shooter. So I don't know. He's the next face of the league. If he's not already the face of the league, definitely when LeBron steps down. So I think it's real fun to kind of watch progression. A fun fact about this is I remember playing 2K, maybe it was a year or two ago. And when you get down to the bottom, and like if you're doing a fancy draft or something, you go look for like the best youngest player. And I remember seeing his name, and he was like a 68 overall or something. And I believe it was Connor who took him. And we progressed the seasons a couple of times, and he got up to like a 96. And I was like, I thought to myself, there's no way this is gonna happen. And then I turn around and I see it in real life. And to me, that's just it's so cool. It's so crazy to actually watch him turn into. A beast.
Most definitely. Adam, what's your thoughts, my friend?
Well, this is a tough one because you have Milwaukee, who was the best team all year in the East and had the best record in the NBA, and you know, demonstrated that they could have the sustainability and everything. But Boston, they just have the horses, man. And it just depends how Boston shows up. There's such a Jekyll and Hyde, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type of team. You never know what you're going to get out of them. But if I had to go right now and pick a team, because, I mean, Giannis, like Dustin was saying, Giannis is playing on another level, and they've got, I mean, they've got weapons too. They've got a deep bench, and both teams are pretty deep. So I'm going to go with Boston in seven, and I'm real iffy on that, but I think Boston's just going to somehow pull it out and win. So I'm going to go with Boston in seven.
All right.
I didn't even say my – I got Milwaukee in six, Rob. Just I had to throw that out there real quick.
Milwaukee in six. All right, cool. Well, for me, like, what I've taken from this perspective is obviously – I know one thing that Kyrie kept stressing was, you know, because a lot of speculation, him being unhappy and all this thing. One thing Kyrie said is, like, we just need to get to the playoffs. And, you know, Kyrie obviously seems to have changed his tone, and he seems happy now because they're winning. And, you know, obviously the Celtics go as far as Kyrie takes them. And, yeah, I know they were successful without Kyrie last year, but, you know, if Kyrie was – playing in game seven last year against the Cavs, I strongly believe that team would have been able to outpower LeBron. So as much as people want to say they were a lot, they did it almost without him. I don't think that without Kyrie, there's no way they win a championship. You know, he just brings too much experience. You know, Kyrie's Kyrie. And that's just how it is. When it comes to the play, like Adam said earlier, the playoffs come down to superstars. And in the more superstars, and you know, if you're a team that has superstar, you have the advantage in my opinion. And Giannis, of course, you know, he is a superstar, but you know, I don't know if he's quite ready to take that next step. I mean, he's playing better than he was in game one, but I just think that the Boston has a lot more weapons, and even though I know they're trailing right now 2-1, but if I had to put my money on it today, I think that it's going to be Boston. I think it's important that it's Boston because, like we talked about with the Raptors, in order for the Celtics to have any chance of keeping Kyrie next year, they're going to have to show Kyrie that there's something there. Otherwise, Kyrie might team up with Kevin Durant or these other potential superstars. So I think it's important that they do pull this out, and I think they will. I think I have the Celtics winning in seven, and that's – I'm willing to bet, you know, small money on it. I'm not 100% confident on it, but you know, I'll take Boston in seven. So,
what kind of small money are we talking about here, Rob?
I'm talking like no more than $20. You know, like.
Oh man!
But anybody else want to tie anything in before we move on?
No, let's keep it rolling.
I mean, I think the rest of the playoffs, I mean, they're going to be pretty exciting. You do have the eight best teams throughout the whole season still alive. So whoever ends up making the finals from the East is going to – it'll be a competitive series more so than last year with Cleveland and Golden State, I believe. I'm not saying they're going to dethrone the Warriors.
They can at least win a game.
It will be competitive. Yeah. Well, and the last thing is, I can't stress enough, just enough with the videos with Dame Lillard, man. I'm tired of it. That's it.
All right. Well, you hear it first. Adam is tired of seeing Damian Lillard stuff. So, so stop tagging him in his shit. He doesn't care.
Oh, God.
All right. So let's move on from NBA to the NFL. Believe it or not, fellas, the NFL season is not too far away. You know, it's within grabbing distance. You know, for too long, it'll be here. And I know we all can't wait for that. But most recently, we had the NFL draft. So I just want to maybe each of us take our time and maybe just tell us some of your biggest takeaways from the draft. You know, which teams you think drafted well, which ones were questionable. You know, so whoever wants to start off, you know, go right ahead.
All right. I'll be honest. I didn't really keep up much with the draft when it was going on. I mean, I've looked at who drafted or what teams drafted, which players and everything. But, you know, shout out to University of Oklahoma, man. Back-to-back years with Heisman Trophy winners and back-to-back years with the number one quarterback taken in the draft. Never That's pretty impressive. I hate to say it's not going to happen again with Jalen Hurts after this year. But teams that drafted well, I mean, I think my Steelers drafted real well. We filled a void on the defense with, I think his last name is Bush from Michigan, a linebacker position. until Shazier comes back. So that was a real solid pickup. And then solidifying your running game with the Kentucky running back. I can't remember his name right now. But, I mean, I think they drafted a wide receiver out of Toledo also that's supposed to be really good in the second round. So I think they drafted well. I think that the Redskins had a pretty good draft, getting Haskins and getting some of the other pieces that they got. I don't think they're going to make a run out of the draft class that they had, but, I mean, they definitely helped themselves building towards the future. So I think they had a good draft. I mean, and then if you want to give an award out to the team that was most entertaining, you got to go with the Oakland Raiders. I mean, you have the fourth overall pick in the draft, and you draft a player that wasn't even projected to go until mid-second round. So bravo to you guys. So I don't know what's going on there. The Giants, who knows? I mean, that's just like a same type of deal as the New York Knicks with James Dolan that owns them, you know, just making poor decisions. When you had clear names that could have been picked that had proven themselves in college at that quarterback position, you go with a guy from Duke. I think a lot of the teams ended up doing a decent job, whereas they weren't just drafting names. They were drafting players for positions that they needed. Another one I like, too, till I turn it over to one of you all, is I liked Seattle getting that wide receiver out of Ole Miss.
The one that took over the whole combine being so
– Yeah, he's got a real similar build to me. So, I mean, I'm just saying I want to put that out there. But I like that pickup for him and Russell Wilson having a target like that. I think that could be huge for him.
So. Dustin, what about you, my friend? You know, what were your thoughts in – You know, as a Bronco fan, what were your thoughts on your team?
Well, my first thing I want to put out there, first statement I want to make is I really don't think Kyler Murray is going to be as good as everybody thinks he's going to be. I'm not trying to put the guy down at all. I just don't think he's going to have all the weapons right off the go that everybody thinks he's going to have. So I don't know. That's something I want to watch. I really want to see how this year plays out for Kyler Murray. The Raiders, I don't understand that. Adam already touched on it, but it just, I mean, that's a pretty big reach, especially at the number four. Why wouldn't you trade that away and get something in return and then still be able to get your guy? Cause nobody's going to take him that early. But who knows? And then of course you got to bring up the Broncos, man. We traded away the 10th pick to the Steelers. My son's a Steelers fan for whatever reason. and he was real interested in the draft this year. So that was, you know, that's always fun when your kids start getting old enough to like the same stuff you do and are interested in the same stuff you are. So it was fun to, I didn't get to watch the first round with him, but we got to watch the second and third round together. So that was pretty fun. The first thing he told me was when I picked him up that day was that, he's seen that the Steelers had traded with the Broncos at the number 10 pick. So I was just like, man, he's on top of it. I'm kind of iffy on why we traded that number 10 away. We were actually, from what I read, we were really interested in the Bush kid too, the linebacker. And that would have made our linebacking core probably, if not the best, one of the best in the NFL. We still got Von Miller and, I'm drawing a blank on the other linebacker we got last year, but
Chubb.
I mean, so we've got some beasts there. That kid would have fit in real well, but we traded away. We go with a tight end with our first overall pick, and I don't really know why, but maybe they know something I don't. But I'm super stoked to see Lock end up with my Broncos, man. He's going from Missouri to my favorite NFL team, so it's kind of fun. Hopefully he can Elway came out and said he's the franchise guy, so hopefully he can learn a little bit behind Flacco and maybe do like Aaron Rodgers and come out and start just gunning it. So very, very stoked to see what happens with
him. So I have to ask, Dustin, and take the whole Mizzou bias out of it. Is Drew Lock finally your guys' franchise quarterback? Did John Elway been missing him?
If I'm being unbiased, I wouldn't put all my money on Lock. But Since I am going to be biased, yeah, he's our guy.
All right. Well, so for me, you know, I actually did watch a lot of the draft, a lot more than usual. I mean, first off, you know, we all knew what was going to happen with Arizona. I guess my take on that is that, you know, if you're the coach, you got to get a quarterback that fits your scheme and what you want the best. And if the Cardinals think that Kyler Murray is that guy, then you mean, you know, with, you know, especially in the NFL where all these coaches have such a short life, you know, they're not really there all day. It's kind of win now or you're gone. You got to set yourself up to be successful now and not 3 or 4 years down the road because you may not be there. So, I mean, you can't blame them if that's who they think that they should go with. I mean, ultimately, if you had to ask me, I honestly think that probably Kyler Murray probably will have a better career than Josh Rosen. That's just my opinion. But I don't think that either one of them are going to do anything spectacular. I mean, I don't think any one of them are going to be superstars. But, you know, I think they're going to be okay in the league. But as far as teams, I think they drafted well. I mean, like I said, Denver did draft it very well. I thought they were impressive. I thought the Patriots drafted pretty well. You know, they drafted a wide receiver, which has always been kind of their biggest thing, is having some decent receivers since, you know, Randy Moss was retired. You know, they addressed the quarterback position, the offensive line to help protect Tom Brady. The Raiders did pretty okay. And like Adam said, I thought the Redskins did good in addressing their quarterback just because, if I had to bet money on it, Alex Smith is probably done. So, obviously, you have to address the most important position. As far as my Falcons, I think the Falcons did very well. One of our problems have always been is our offensive line and our defensive line. They addressed – I think they drafted 2 offensive line people in the first round. And so, I mean, your quarterback can't do what he does best if he doesn't have anyone to protect him. So I'm really like that the Falcons got some good offensive players in that sense. And I think we even drafted another receiver, believe it or not. And I didn't think we needed another one, but apparently we do. But, you know, I'm not questioning because obviously the Falcons have drafted very well in that position. So I'm pretty excited. You know, I think the Falcons are going to bounce back after all those injuries. And so and then, like you said, Justin, shout out to Drew Lock. It's good. You know, a lot of people thought he was a sure lock to be first round. Obviously, it didn't work out that way. But Lock even said that he'd rather be drafted late to the best team than being drafted early to the wrong team. And so I think he's got a good point. You know, you don't want to get drafted early to a team that's not suited for what you do best. And I think that John Elway, since he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, I think even though he's missed on a lot of these quarterbacks, I think that just being a his caliber of a quarterback, I think he could shake Drew Lock to be that franchise quarterback. I definitely think he's a lot better option than what Case Keenum is. You know, he obviously is going to be able to sit behind Joe Flacco. I honestly personally think he's probably going to be the starter by season's end next year if we've seen what we've seen out of Joe Flacco. So that's my perspective. And obviously the most questionable thing I think you have to go with is the Giants going after the Duke quarterback when you had Haskins on the board, you had Locke on the board. Yeah, and so those were all questionable. And so I don't know. The Giants have made a lot of questionable decisions over the last few, you know, this last year, you know, re-signing Beckham and then just the trade him to the Browns, you know. So I don't know what they're doing these days. So anybody else want to add anything else?
Here's the thing about Drew Lock, too, that separates him from some of the Denver quarterbacks they've had. He already had a chip on his shoulder coming out of college. Now he's got an even bigger chip on his shoulder because of where he was drafted. And, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. Granted, the record at Mizzou didn't really speak for itself, and they lost a lot of games that they should have won. But, I mean, his numbers, if you look at them, all-time SEC statistically speaking, he's a very, very talented quarterback. And, of course, college statistics don't always transfer over to the NFL. But that guy's just got a chip on his shoulder. And I think that that's going to benefit him immensely in the NFL. I don't know that he'll play this year because Flacco, I do think, has a little bit more left in him. And if they are winning games – I mean, and have a potential to get a wild card. I mean, they're not going to win the division with Kansas City and the Chargers there. But, I mean, if they can make a wild card run with Flacco, they'll stick with him and let him and let Drew Locke kind of learn from him more so than Elway. I think that's huge, having an actual quarterback for them to learn from rather than just Elway sitting there trying to relive his glory days.
Yeah, I agree. Any last other thoughts for you, Mr. Lipich?
No, that's it, man. We covered it.
Cool, cool. All right, so let's cover some just other storylines before we wrap up this episode. You know, going back to the NBA, obviously the big thing about recently is the Lakers and then fighting their coach. It appears they're probably going with Tyronn Lue. So I just want to know y'all's thoughts on whether you think Tyronn Lue is a perfect fit for the Lakers. You know, a lot of people didn't want this to happen because they felt like he would be turning over the franchise to completely to LeBron by also getting Tyronn Lue. So, Adam, you know, let me just start with you. You know, is Tyronn Lue the best fit for the Lakers? Do you think that Tyronn Lue is going to be someone to help attract some of the big free agents? And, you know, what's your thoughts on the Lakers and everything?
I don't know that there is a best fit scenario for the Lakers. I don't know there's ever a best fit scenario for a coach of a LeBron James team. I think he's got the pedigree from everyone that praises him. Before he was a head coach in Cleveland, he won a championship and came back from 3-1 being down. I mean, that's very impressive, and you can't just put all that on LeBron James coaching the team. I don't know, like I said, though, that there's a legitimate, clear candidate fit for the Lakers as a coach. I think he's a step above Luke Walton because players will respect him. I don't know that they will get players to go there because of him. I don't think that that really makes that much of a difference. But I do think that he's an upgrade from Luke Walton, and I do think it will be a playoff team next year with Tyronn Lue as a coach.
All right. What do you think, Dustin? Thoughts?
Tyronn Lue from good old Mexico, Missouri. Isn't that something?
Right.
Shut up. I think Adam kind of hit it on the head when he said did you say, Rob? One of y'all just said that it almost looks like the Lakers are turning their franchise over to LeBron. I mean, it's Magic step down, which nobody for sure knows why. And it was kind of suddenly and unexpected. And people were wondering, you know, did LeBron pull a power move or this or that? And then right after Magic.
Let me quickly just interrupt you real quick, Dustin. The rumor is, or coming from Magic Johnson, the reason why he quit or stepped down is he thought, A, he couldn't be his full himself. And not only that, but he felt like there was some backstabbing within the organization. There's a rumor out there that Jeannie Buss sent an email to Palinka and Rob accidentally, I guess, CC'd Magic, I guess, and basically was questioning some of the things, you know, maybe Magic being out of the office and some other things that Magic Johnson had been doing in his free time. And so that's the rumor why he stepped down, because like he's like I said, he felt like he was being backstabbed. And he took it personal because he says he considers Jeannie Buss as like a sister, which I think is funny because he considers her as a sister but didn't even tell her beforehand he was stepping down. So I thought that was kind of funny. But I didn't mean to cut you off, Dustin. Go ahead. I just want to throw that in there.
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's good facts, bro, straight up. That's kind of why I said nobody knows for sure, because it's kind of up in the air as to what was going on. I mean, there's obviously the rumors, and that's cool. But as soon as he leaves, he's the one that wanted Luke Walton to be the coach for the Lakers. As soon as he stepped down, it was pretty much everybody knew Walton was on his way out. And he might have
what you cut out there, my friend.
As soon as Magic left, then Walton was gone. And the only reason I think Walton was there as long as he was is because of Magic. The Walton family and the Magic family are they're pretty close, so I think he was kind of keeping Luke alive. But as soon as he went out, I mean, I just sat back and thought to myself, well, it's really whoever LeBron wants as the coach is going to be the coach. And so it was no surprise that Tyronn Lue's name gets brought up and that he's pretty much going to be that next coach. I think I don't think it is going to sway any players to go there. I think if they're going to go there, they're going there no matter what because of LeBron, and then also because it's the Lakers. I mean, the organization itself. But I think as far as LeBron's concerned, that Tyronn Lue will be the best coach because LeBron actually coaches, and Tyronn Lue kind of does what LeBron wants to do. So I think it's going to, you know, before it's all said and done, the Lakers organization is going to be ran by LeBron James, bro, before it's all said and done.
Come on, get out of here with that.
I just want to let you all know, too, that Rob has been a Lakers fan since day one of the LeBron era.
Exactly.
I have. This is true. Thank you for pointing that out, Adam. what I'd like to say, I like to pick with Tyronn Lue. And I think that people criticize LeBron and like he's not as somewhat like all these other superstars when they're asking the media was portraying like LeBron shouldn't have an input on the next coach and they shouldn't allow him to be part of the process, which I completely disagree because like the superstars, let's just call what it is. It's a players' league. The players hold all the power. And so for them to act like LeBron is the first superstar to have all this power is wrong. He's just the one superstar that is not afraid to use that power. And honestly, you should. I mean, if you have any sort of influence, I mean, you should. I mean, just think, put in your own perspective where you work. If you had power to make changes in your workplace, wouldn't you do it? I mean, and so like that's why I don't get why they're criticizing someone like LeBron. If you could flex your power and throw your power around to make things get done, why wouldn't you? I think you're wasting that if you don't. but as far as Tyronn Lue, I think Tyronn Lue, in my opinion, is probably the best fit because we all know LeBron will succeed more if he respects you. I honestly don't think he ever respected Lou Walton. And so I don't say he didn't give him a fair chance or didn't listen to him, but like, I just honestly don't think like, you know, there's certain coaches in this league that I think that you listen to and you'll follow, like Greg Popovich. I think anybody will follow and listen to anything that Craig, you know, the Greg Popovich says. And obviously Tyronn Lue's not on that level as Greg Popovich, but it's someone that LeBron trusts. You know, that was like, he was pushing for Tyronn Lue to become the coach at Cleveland. And I think it helped him get there. And obviously they won a championship together. And so that has to count for something. And so they won't have to work on their chemistry together. They already know the kind of the things that he expects from Tyronn Lue and what Tyronn Lue expects of LeBron. So like what Adam said, I don't know if it's going to make a huge impact on who they get in free agency. I think that LeBron is going to be the impact on who comes here. But I do definitely think I think it's going to help them win more games. And like I said, and no matter what you tell me, injuries devastated this whole season. So, I mean, I don't think that Luke Walton was the reason why they didn't make the playoffs. Obviously, the injuries were a big factor into that. But like I said, I like Tyronn Lue. I mean, obviously, there's not a better a candidate out there unless Greg Popovich decides to throw his name in the hat. But, you know, but so obviously, I think they need to get that done, and they obviously need to address another big power, and that's who's going to be the president of operations. I think that's going to be a larger indication of who they get this offseason than who their head coach is, in my opinion. I like Tyronn Lue. I do. And I think the players are going to play harder and better for Tyronn Lue than they did than Luke Walton. And that's just my opinion.
There's talks that an early candidate for that position is Thibodeau. I was reading the other day.
I mean that would be all right. I mean, that's a well-known name. I mean, a lot of people throwing out like Jerry West, but would he actually lead the Clippers to be the president of the Lakers? I mean, I don't think so. I mean, the Clippers are an up-and-coming franchise. I think a lot of people think that they have a chance to get someone like Kawhi this offseason and maybe also someone like KD. I mean, I was listening to ESPN that if Kawhi that a lot of people, and Stephen A. Smith thinks that the Clippers could get both Kevin Durant and Kawhi next year. So, if you ask me, I think Kawhi is, like I said, as of right now, staying in Toronto, and I think KD's going to New York, or he's staying in Golden State, but you never know. They have a good chance.
So, I would watch taking all your advice from Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely.
but real quick also, another coach that got actually hired that I want to give some credit to is Monty Williams for the Phoenix Suns, because I don't know if a lot of you know the background behind what happened with him. He was actually an assistant coach here in Oklahoma City.
His wife died.
His wife was killed. She was in a car accident, and they had four or five kids together. No, none of the kids were hurt or anything, but his wife was killed, and he took immediate leave from the team. And he's been with – I think he's been with Philly, if I'm correct. But, you know, congrats to him for finally being ready to take that next step and become a coach again, because he's been everywhere he's gone, players have respected him and have high praise for him. So I think that that fit for him in Phoenix is going to be a great fit, and he's going to get players to play up. And, I mean, they've got another first-round, possibly lottery draft pick this year after they just got Ayton, and you got Booker playing well. Watch out for Phoenix with that coach of Monty Williams. I think that could be a team in the future that could make some noise.
Definitely. Anything else you want to add, Destin?
No, I'm good, brother.
All right, man. All right, so let's just another big topic that happened over the weekend was and Adam's probably going to be the know more and more about this than we do, but Adam, something rare and never happened before at the Kentucky Derby yesterday. You want to tell us what happened?
Yeah. So I'm not the advocate really for sport horse racing, but I do kind of watch the Kentucky Derby. I watch all sports, but I watch the Kentucky Derby, and basically the horse that won, what happened was the horse crossed the finish line, but then I guess what they can do as jockeys, you can call like an objection to where you go up and basically pick up a phone and call a booth that is like a replay booth. And basically the jockey for the horse that got second place said that the horse that won impeded its lane. So basically what happened is the horse that had won the race, as they were making a turn down the last quarter of the race, the horse kind of impeded into the other horse's lane. I wish I had the names on me. I should have done that. But basically, it prevented the other horse, because the horse that got second place is on the side making a run and coming up ahead and would have arguably passed the horses in the lead and possibly won the race. But because of the other horse impeding its lane, it lost momentum and basically came in second. So basically what happened is the jockey called an objection. And congrats to the NFL. You don't have the worst instant replay booth situation. This was absolutely pathetic. It was basically two people for the most part, but they also had a third person in a booth with about four TVs. One of them wasn't even working. And they were just watching replay for about 14 to 15 minutes till they made a decision. I understand this is a decision that's never been overturned like that, to where they had disqualified horses in the past, but never taken a win away from a horse like that. But for it to be raining and for them to – their review process was absolutely garbage. And basically they looked at the video for about 14 or 15 minutes and then came to the conclusion that the horse did impede the other horse's lane. So they disqualified the winner and moved the horse that got second place to first place. And it was a big deal, because the horse that actually won after the review was a 65-1 odd, which was the second highest or lowest odds in the 145 years of the Kentucky Derby. It was the lowest was in 1913, I believe. So the payout for that horse winning, if you bet a dollar and you bet for the horse to actually win outright, you got 130 some odd dollars based on that $1 bet. So a lot of people were probably angry and very frustrated in Vegas. And I mean, just the overall, it's a poor look for that sport.
Definitely.
That glorifies the Kentucky Derby as their race. I mean, there's the Triple Crown is three races essentially. And for that whole process to take place, I'm glad they have replay, but I mean, it is absolutely absurd how the whole process went down.
Yeah, definitely. I went back and saw the video, and I've definitely never seen anything like that. And I'm someone that's never really followed horse racing at all. I mean, I know the last time I really followed is when we did have that Triple Crown winner
couple years back, and honestly, that's the only time I really watch it if there's something big like that happened. So it is definitely sad that that happened on the Super Bowl, pretty much the Super Bowl of their sport. So it is unfortunate that happened. So, yeah. Dustin, anything else maybe you saw in the world of sports you want to talk about?
Well, I just want to say I can't believe that they have impeding lane violations and shit like that in a horse race. Like, that just baffles me that that's even a thing. Like, I think if the horses are running, like, I don't know. I feel like they should shoot the little gun off. The horses should run, and whoever crosses the line first, no matter what happened during the race, should be the winner. That's just my opinion. I don't know. I don't follow horse racing. I'm not really a big fan of it. I don't know how you can go back and watch a replay and say that this horse was impeding this horse's lane. I don't know.
Well, two things I got on that real quick before we switch subjects. The first one, the argument that I struggle with is how can you justify that a horse or anyone wins a race without crossing the finish line first? I mean, exactly. That's hard to fathom. And as the horse for the jockey and the horse that won, I mean, yeah, you won, but you didn't really win. You know what I mean?
No,
and
yeah,
I, definitely. And I did see the owner of that winning race, horse, he did say, well, you always want to win, but you don't want to win in that way. You know? So,
right.
Because it feels like there's going to be like an asterisk next to it all the time, you know?
Oh, there will absolutely be an asterisk next to it. But then the last thing I have about that is that, does anyone not think that that's going to be a 30 for 30 in the near future?
Yeah.
Probably so, yeah, definitely.
And I don't even like horse racing, but that might be something that I watch, so, because I like me some 30 for 30, so.
Definitely.
I got a topic, though, that I wanted to throw out there if we're good to move on.
Let's see.
Dustin and Rob, I don't know if you saw, but President Trump is inviting Tiger Woods to the White House tomorrow.
I did see that. Huge golf fan. I saw that. And apparently he's agreeing to go, too.
Right. So my question is, based on what the president's been doing with championship teams that have came up there, is he going to give Tiger Woods a Happy Meal? Or are you going to one-up it and get him some type of, like, legitimate
food? Well, I know
food.
One thing. He better not pull, the race car and be like, well, I'm offering him fried chicken or something.
I was just going to say KFC. I swear to God, bro.
If he offers some sort of chicken, that's going to be the news. Like, man, Trump is racist offering fried chicken.
Oh, my God.
But
I don't know. Tiger Woods is – I'm just glad he won, man. I'm stoked that he got another Masters.
It seems like Trump has a lot of respect for Tiger Woods, judging his tweet when he won. So I think that he's going to show him some more love and not do fast food. I think he's actually going to get a five-star meal of some sort. But if he doesn't, then shame on Trump, because this was – I think Tiger Woods winning the Masters was a huge deal in sports. It really was. And so – I think that he should be respected and honored for that. So,
yeah, definitely one up it and get him some Shakespeare's pizza.
Well, I don't know. We'll see, but we'll see how that happened. But I'm glad for Tiger. I hope this means he's back. And so I'll be willing to find out after tomorrow what he actually feeds him. So is there anything else anybody wants to touch on before we wrap up this episode?
I think we're good, man. I got some Game of Thrones to go watch, right? Thanks to you, Roberto.
Yeah, me as well. Thanks, everybody, for checking out this show. Like I said, we're gonna fix that whole social media aspect of it, but we're going to get that up and running. So, I want you to follow this and share this with your friends. We're trying to do big things here, and so, but we can't do that without y'all. I think I speak for Dustin and Adam when I say – we appreciate all the love, and we're glad to be back. We're going to be back again, and we're gonna stay around. So I just want to give again another shout-out to Adam and to Dustin for taking time out of their day and making this happen. And so, fellas, it's been fun, and I look forward to talking with you all real again soon on the next episode.
No BS is back, baby.
Yep. Woo! Woo! All right, guys. So we'll talk to y'all later. No BS out.
We out. You know, man.